This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want to help you guys help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. You're going to find some links in the description, so you can do just that. Ryan, happy Monday, my friend.
Happy Monday.
Back at it again, Garfield style.
Nappy Hyundai.
Only difference between us and Garfield, we love Mondays.
We do love Mondays.
You know why come we love Mondays? Reason why we come... reason why, how come we love Mondays?
There it is.
Is because it's Million Dollar Monday,
million
my friend.
Million Dollar Monday.
I'm going to give you $1 million.
Thank you.
But now, okay, so here's the thing. This wouldn't apply to the average person.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because we do a lot of publication here at Clearview. We do a lot of publishing. We do a lot of writing. We publish books. Dr. Shah publishes articles,
yes.
Journal entries for academic articles. So it ain't going to apply to y'all. But I'll say this. $1 million. But the next either paper, book, manuscript, whatever it is that you submit to a publisher or an editor of any kind.
Okay.
You have to do it completely in crayon. So you and Dr. Shah are working on a book right now.
Dr. Shah. Nicole Elizabeth.
Yep. Okay. The entire draft. You can draft it out however you want. I wouldn't recommend doing this, but you can draft it out on the computer or whatever. But when you go to submit it to the publisher, it has to be submitted in crayon, like handwritten crayon.
Sure.
No way.
Sure.
Okay. No way.
Yeah. If anything, it may make it stand out among other submissions.
I don't think they're going to read it.
Can I choose the crayon color?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
What color are you choosing? Please don't say black.
Probably green.
It's a green crayon. Green. Crayola?
Obviously.
Or not like Great Art or whatever?
No. Ooh, no. Crayola.
It's going to be Crayola.
Yeah.
What are the other crayon brands? Okay, so I would say I wouldn't do it.
I would take that.
Now, would you do the first draft like that?
Sure.
Rose Art is what I was thinking of. Rose Art.
Rose Art would be okay.
Yeah, so is that the only draft? What if you make a mistake?
Scratch it out. Scratch it out and write it next to it. I'll take that. Sure. For $1 million, yeah.
I would say the book, I mean, there's a...
Yeah, because I'll submit it in crayon and be like, what expenses do you have? Like, what do you...
What do you mean?
You got any bills you need taken care of? Like, we can work something out.
Oh, you're going to bribe the publishers.
Absolutely.
Bro, the book sales probably would... I mean, if it does well, the book sales would top $1 million. I feel like they wouldn't need your...
No, I mean, like,
100,000.
Just personally, like, right, like, in their personal lives, you got any, like... You mean to knock a little bit off your mortgage? Like, you got a car payment? You know, we could work something out.
I don't know.
I'll take it.
I guess my thing is, like, I would wonder, if I have $1 million, do I even want to publish a book now?
That was what I said. The worst thing that can happen is they reject the book, and then we just have $1 million and I don't have a book, which I don't currently have
also,
now.
Yeah, so. Also, that's very likely that they'll reject the book. Like, anyone who submits, we need to get a publisher or somebody like on the show to tell us what would happen if someone submitted it in crayon.
It was genuinely a dynamite book, bestseller,
like imagine,
but it's submitted in crayon.
Yeah, imagine someone submitting Lord of the Rings, but in crayon.
Sure.
Okay.
No problem.
That's it.
I'll take it.
That's it.
If you guys would take that deal, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm going to ask Dr. Shaw if he would do it, because we also have a very special guest today.
Yes,
he's written
do.
A lot of books. In fact, they've written books together.
They have written books together.
And so we're going to talk about that on the show, but I'm going to ask them if they would submit it in crayon. Guaranteed they're not.
I wonder if the number of books under your name makes you any more or less likely to submit it in crayon.
So that's what I've always thought. J.K. Rowling did that whole, I know we got to go to the ad here in a second, but J.K. Rowling did that whole thing where she published all the Harry Potter books and then started wanting to publish under a fake name.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering, does she have to worry about getting rejected by publishers? Like, does she publish as J.K. Rowling and then just put the name as something else? Or does she send it in anonymously as Robert Galbraith or whatever it was? And then she goes, like, surely they would have to know.
Like, J.K., I'm actually Rowling.
Very nice. But I wonder, like if you know whatever she writes is going to be a hit, so can she submit it in crayon? And they still do it.
I don't know.
All right, let's ask Dr. Shaw.
Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shaw's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shaw has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here today live in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show, along with very special guests. Let me get a drum roll, please. Let me hear it. Dr. David Allen Black, thank you for being here, my friend. He's looking at that thing like, what is this? Very good to see you, my friend.
Dr. Black, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. It's really, really great to be back. Always an honor to be here. And it's amazing that it's been like 2 years since I've been on your campus.
I know.
So excited to see and to hear all that's going on here, including the new section we're building.
Yes. It's going, it'll be about 2 weeks when we'll be in. Mm-hmm. And you were in our last building, which is still where we're meeting right now. And it was for our Apologetics Conference.
That's right.
On textual criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just seems like yesterday.
Yeah. Can we reach the original text?
Yeah.
Can you think we can?
Someone ought to write a book on that, actually.
Yeah. So I was going to say, you know, the book.
Conveniently.
You know, we have a book that's available on that very question about that very conference with the two authors of that book sitting right here at the table, Dr. David Black and Dr. Abadan Shaw, along with two other scholars, actually contributed to making that book happen. It's available on Amazon right now. I think it is
on
iTunes.
Is it available as an audiobook?
I don't know if iTunes, not an audiobook, but I think it's on Apple Books.
Oh, like okay. Well,
that's right. It is.
It's not iTunes, but you know what I mean.
It's like a subsidiary.
Yeah, the subsidiary. Sure. That's what I was thinking. Gentlemen, I actually forgot to play the theme song in the beginning, so I'm going to play the theme song right now. I'm going to give you guys $1 million each. We usually play the theme song in the beginning, but I completely forgot. $1 million.
Okay.
But the next academic paper that you guys, the next academic paper that you guys submit, whether it's the one on Acts, whether it's a book manuscript, anything academic that you guys submit to a publisher or an editor, it has to be submitted fully in crayon.
In crayon.
But you get $1 million.
Crayon.
You have to write it and submit it in crayon.
Wow.
And you get $1 million.
I think
you get to pick the color.
Introduction skateboarding and surfing.
Is this something you're going to actually publish?
I am.
Then, yeah.
It's my opus magnum.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still working on it, though. I've been working on it for like 50 years.
So, wow. So you have to write it and submit it to your publisher in crayon.
In crayon. Do the cartoons first.
Yeah. So you'll do it. What about you,
Dom? I'm going to do it.
You do it?
Do it. I mean, if $1 million?
For $1 million.
Yes, absolutely.
They'll reject it.
They'll pay attention to the work. It'll stand out because it's in crayon. It's a win-win.
No way. No way.
Then I will tell them, okay, look, I have $1 million. So how much do you need to upgrade your website
once
or something?
Once you submit it and they reject it, you can come back and say, hey, I'll give you a typed manuscript.
Yes.
I just did this to get $1 million.
That's right.
You'll do it?
Absolutely.
And Dr. Black, you're doing it? You're
absolutely.
Submitting? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. I really didn't expect that. I didn't
crayon manuscripts. That. Be on the look for them in the future.
Well, how's it been going? How are things?
Yeah, it's been going really, really good. We farm, so we keep busy. Mm-hmm. And we had a really, really rainy, rainy summer. So it's been kind of, we're behind.
Nice.
So.
Wow.
But, we've had this dry weather now for, mm-hmm. 2 weeks now? Mm-hmm. And it's got two more weeks to go. So we're getting up about 200 acres right now. And if it stays dry, we'll maybe get it up.
Wow.
How many acres altogether that you guys?
We farm 200 total.
Wow. Okay.
I only own 123 of them, though, but we lease all the others.
Wow.
But, yeah, it keeps you busy. And, that's been going really good. I've been training for another race.
Okay, like a marathon?
Well, this one's an ultra.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm training really hard for that. That's coming up in December, so we'll see.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what all does that entail as opposed to a marathon?
That's just a 32-mile instead of 26.
Just 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Just 32.
Yeah, just 32 miles.
Easy. I knocked that out before breakfast, but it's whatever.
Right. Yeah. So that's on that's for December. And then I just decided actually yesterday to return to the Alps next summer to do another mountain there. So
okay.
Wow.
Yeah, to Zermatt, and it's my favorite city in Switzerland.
Wow.
But I did that a few years ago. I did, four of the peaks there. And before I get too old, I thought I'd try another one.
There you go.
Go for it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm going to keep my feet firmly planted in the studio. But I mean, hey, mountain climbing, man, that's your thing.
And you work out on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
You're still going hardcore?
The thing about climbing is high elevation mountaineering, you got to kind of be strong, a lot stronger than I am.
So do you lift? Do you lift?
I do.
Nice.
Yeah. We work out about 3 days a week on that. Then I run, three times a week.
Very
too.
Cool.
So next week I'm heading up to, you've got have climbed Sharp Top. I'm sure Sharp Top is right out of Bedford.
I don't think
just west of Lynchburg, because the Fall Foliage is supposed to be a high peak at that
point. Oh, wow.
So, okay.
Yeah. So there are a few mountains around here, but they're only 4,000. They're 4,000-ish feet.
Right.
You know?
Right. We did one in Arizona that was really cool. What was the one that we did?
Outside of Sedona.
I can't remember.
Oh, that's beautiful there.
I can't remember what it was called.
Chimney Rock?
Oh, Chimney
It was Chimney Rock, but not the Chimney
not
Rock
the Chimney
here.
Not the Chimney Rock here.
The Chimney Rock in Arizona. Sedona. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. That was a fun one.
We had kids with us, and that made it tough.
True. I took my son, who was 2 at the time.
Yeah.
No, maybe 1 at the time. I can't remember.
This was 2021.
Then he would have been one year old. Yeah. We had him.
So the climb was easy for him.
Yeah, he was fine. But we had him strapped on me and then strapped on Ellie, and it was.
We didn't even make it all the way to the top.
No, we didn't.
But it was because in some places it got steep.
Yeah,
and we were concerned.
Okay. We made it to a point where the view was worth the climb, and then it was like, all right, we're good here. Yeah.
One of those things. The red rock beautiful over there.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Have you done any climbs there?
Not in Arizona. I mean, the closest thing is when I did the Mesa Marathon, we were bussed up to the top of the mountain.
Okay.
And I think about that race, it's all downhill, which is kind of rare.
Yeah, true.
That's a good thing. Gravity works with you. Well, our verse of the day today comes from John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Mm. Just kind of gives you that sense of assurance, you know what I mean? That security that you have in Christ. And I think that's something that God has sort of been pressing on my heart lately, is that there's so many reasons false reasons, but there's so many reasons the world gives you to doubt. You know what I mean? There's so many things that the world wants you to doubt and wants you to be in that state of fear or anxiety. Like it's almost like you're rewarded in today's society for being anxious, where God says exactly the opposite.
That's right.
Anxiety is presented as a badge of honor.
Oh, that's right. And through Christ, we have that life.
That's right.
And it's abundant life.
That's right. So good. It's so important for us to remember, you know, the eternality of our salvation. Mm-hmm. I've talked to students a bunch of times who feel like, you know, I've messed up or I've fallen away. Right. So I need to get saved again. Mm. And I'm like, well, let's talk through exactly what's happening here. It's not a matter of getting saved again, but there's always a coming back to God that can happen.
Amen.
You told me that one time. You told me that, and I know I've said this on the show before, but it impacted me so deeply. You said that most of life is coming back to God. And I don't know what it was, but something about that sentence hit me so hard. It was just so true. Mm-hmm. And yet I never once thought of it
that way. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What do you think, Dr. Black?
Well, I mean, eternal security is a pretty important doctrine, isn't it?
It is.
So I love that verse.
Yeah.
And it's very emphatic. Actually, I was just looking at the Greek, you know, you have the double negative there.
Right.
That's probably the strongest way in any language to say this ain't ever going to happen. This is not going to happen at all. You know?
I love it.
So, that's a great verse.
You know, anything new going on academically? I know you, Dr. Shaw, you've got a paper coming up, but Dr. Black, anything new academically?
I just started revising my little primer on textual criticism, actually.
Nice.
It's called New Testament Textual Criticism, A Concise Guide, and it's in its 30th year now, so it's a fossil. Mm-hmm. And everything's changing so rapidly in the field that I've decided to revise it. So I'm probably about halfway through doing that.
Okay. So you're revising it to reflect some of those changes?
It'll have to take into account some of the things that I know you all have been talking about here. I know Dr. Shaw's been talking about it a lot with his peers, being an expert in textual criticism. So trying to bring it up to speed, but at the same time, keep it simple enough for people like me to understand it, this kid from Hawaii. So yeah, it's going to be fun project.
You know, that's a great point you bring up. And Dr. Shaw, maybe if someone's listening for the first time, what are some of these changes in textual criticism? You have an entire book on how these goalposts have been shifted.
Right.
But if someone's just listening or tuning in for the first time, what are some of these changes that are happening in the field?
Well, in my dissertation, which became a book, it's about how the quest for the original text has gone off the rails. Mm-hmm. And now it is no longer the text, but it's could be a text or many texts that we can reach. Or this is so-called the new phase of textual criticism that we are sort of abandoning that quest. Mm-hmm. And so I often talk about, you know, the importance of doing that, sticking with the original quest of New Testament textual criticism, which was find the original text.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course, we can come up with the reasons and opinions on Scrabble readings and theological, you know, corruptions or whatever, like Bart Ehrman talks about.
Right.
But that is not the primary goal. So that's one of the things that are still, I think, still a hot topic. Mm-hmm. But now the topics are sort of shifting a little bit and talking more and more about text types. So we are I was at a conference outside of Oxford, England, where we had this conference on text types. And I know Dr. Black and I have talked back and forth on this issue recently.
Right.
So so a lot to discuss on text types, hasn't it?
I tell you, it's a big black hole. You don't want to start slipping down into that
big rabbit hole.
Well, for the benefit of our listeners and our viewers, you know, we've discussed this on the show before, but what is a text type? As we're talking about textual criticism and the study of Scripture, recovering the original text, what do you mean when you say text type?
Well, there are no text types, we're being told today. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like, do you belong to the Flat Earth Society kind of a question?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's really the crux of the matter right now, is whether or not we should continue to speak about text types. What you had in the early church, you had different locales where textual families or streams arose. And by the second century, you had three of them, basically. You had a big flood, a large stream in the Byzantine world, what we would call the Aegean Rim, where you have southern Italy, you have Greece, you have maybe Turkey, and that has been called the Byzantine text. And in the West, where is the Latin-speaking church, you have the Western text. And then in Egypt, you had a text type developed called the Alexandrian text. So by the second or third centuries, you have these text types agreed in in the places where they disagree with each other, that in the places of variation, because 96% of the New Testament is attested by all three of those text types. So only in places of variation do we need to discuss these text types. Now, that's been questioned, and a new method has come along that is attempting to replace it.
Is that the CBGM?
That is. And so, you know, that's maybe a discussion for another day, because it is a really, really big topic.
Right, right.
And probably would merit its own conversation.
Is that some of the stuff you'll be covering in the revised edition of your?
Oh, absolutely. Whole idea of text types, the CBGM, the ECM. I've just got the ECM of Mark, which is three volumes, and it cost me a trip to Hawaii to purchase it. And
when do you see that coming out, that book, the revised edition?
Oh, well, I'll finish revising it probably in about 2 months.
Okay.
And then Baker's going to have to tell me when it'll be out. But the ECM of Mark was very disappointing to me, because although it did improve the text of Mark a little bit, for example, in Mark 1:1, you may know that the words Son of God are put in square brackets in the Greek New Testament. And those square brackets have been removed finally, and that's been long overdue. But the last 12 verses of Mark 16:9 through 20, have continued to be published or printed in double square brackets. And they should have at least removed the double square brackets, at least. So that to me has become sort of the test case. I don't know if you've ever had, you know, someone interviewed on that. You probably have. And I know at our conferences, we've talked a lot about the last 12 verses of Mark. Mm-hmm. But that's a good test case, because you only have three Greek manuscripts that do not contain those verses. Only two of them are early. On the other hand, you have 1,643 Greek manuscripts that contain those verses. Not only that, you have the Old Latin, the Vulgate, the Syriac, the Coptic, the Ethiopic, the Georgian, the Armenian, the Irenaeus, Augustine. There's no doubt in my mind that we ought to teach and preach the last 12 verses of Mark. Mm-hmm. But apparently no progress has been made there in the ECM on that. So I'm quite disappointed about that. At least they should have removed the double square brackets, or at least place them in single square brackets.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what double square brackets basically mean is, oops, we made a mistake. We printed the wrong reading in the text. You know, it belongs in the footnote, but we did it for whatever reasons, other reasons of expediency. You know, if you're not going to preach John 7:53-8:11, the woman taken in adultery, if you don't want to do that, if you don't believe it's original, then relegate it to a footnote. Mm-hmm. Don't print it in the text itself.
Yeah. I feel like that often leads to confusion for people. Dr. Shah, as a pastor, have you seen that with people handling these, you know, maybe a footnote or things like double brackets in their text? They're like, should I read this as the Bible? Is it right to think about this as God's word?
Or do you see the opposite, where people just ignore it completely? They're like, you know what? I don't care if it's original or not. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to live by it.
Right. I think the latter is what I see more from the pews. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care, you know, just whatever. I'm going to go with that. But still, it leaves a sense of doubt in the mind of the reader, the uninformed reader, say. You know, the ones who are not aware of these issues, it's been tough for them. Mm-hmm. And so I have a few people in our church who'll come up after the service and say, hey, so I have a question. Why is this like this?
Right. One of the things I respect about you two guys is that with other scholars in other fields, you typically see that they're just chasing truth for the sake of being right or for the sake of being correct. Or it's like, I just want to find out. I just want to get to the bottom of this. But what I like about you guys, especially because you guys are in biblical scholarship, is that this is important for people's salvation. This is important for people's eternity and for their Christian lives. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're studying, what we're getting to the bottom of, we use at the pulpit. You know, we use to help people. And I think that's missing from a lot of secular scholarship, and definitely from some Christian scholarship.
Well, you have two basic New Testaments or Bibles that you could purchase today that represent the two different perspectives. You have the ESV on the one hand, and the Bible that your church uses, the NKJV. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in places of textual keep in mind 96% to 98% of the time, all the text types agree. But where they do disagree, your choice of an English Bible translation makes a lot of difference. But having said that, I think Dr. Shah would agree, we haven't lost a word of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure whether it's printed above or below the line in my Greek New Testament.
Right, right.
Or whether it's printed in the text of the NKJV or in the footnote in the NKJV. However, having said that, people look at those footnotes in their Bibles and they do get a little bit worried. Mm-hmm. Has God providentially preserved the Bible to us?
Yeah.
That is why we have to have the art and science of New Testament textual criticism.
That's right.
That's right.
That's a good point. Right. Yeah. It's kind of funny because I think a lot of people don't think this deeply about their faith. Maybe around here, but it's, we almost internalize, maybe not internalize, but we keep those doubts and we keep those anxieties that we have kind of secret, because there's this level of shame that I think people feel, when really we should be doing what you guys are doing, which is, let's dig into this. Let's actually get to the bottom of
don't
what this.
Don't be afraid
this,
right, of looking at variant readings.
Because what happens if we get to it and it turns out this is a bigger, either a bigger problem than I'm equipped to deal with, or it reveals a very unfortunate truth that I don't want to confront.
That's right. And it's very practical. So John, if I was teaching from Matthew 5:22, and I was teaching from the ESV and from the NKJV, we would have two different teachings about anger. Either Jesus said, if you get angry with your brother, God will judge you. Or if you get angry with your brother without a cause, that's the New King James,
right,
or the King James, God will judge you. So you see how practical that is? So is Jesus prohibiting all anger or only unrighteous anger?
True. Very true.
It's very, very practical. Now, of course, I have argued in print in an article, Novum Testamentum, for the originality of that little adverb AK. On the basis of its early date and its widespread attestation, I think AK, a very strong case can be made for the originality, but also on the basis of the internal evidence. Because if you look at the life of Christ, you look at the teaching of Paul in Ephesians 4 about anger, be angry. We're commanded to be angry. What does James say about anger? Let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then he doesn't say don't get angry. He says what?
Slow to anger.
And why? Because most of the time when we get angry, it's not for a good reason.
That's a good point.
And that's why the next verse in James 1, verse 20 says this, because generally speaking, man's anger does not produce God's righteousness. That is so practical, because let's say you lose your temper and you, quote unquote, discipline your 8-year-old daughter because you lost your cool. You are obligated, therefore, according to the Bible, to go to your daughter and humbly apologize and ask for her forgiveness.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
There's no way out of it. You say, well, I'm the authority. I'm the parent. I can't do anything wrong. And I would just add one thing if I could. I think one of the reasons AK would have been omitted or taken out intentionally, because it makes Jesus look a little bit too indulgent toward anger. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I get angry, I always have a good reason. Can you hear people?
The righteous anger.
100%.
I'm always just in my mind.
The righteous indignation. And by the way, when we come to that woman taking an adultery passage, I also think there would be an impetus to omit that, because that made Jesus look too indulgent toward adultery.
Yeah, true.
Of course, the easiest way to solve a problem like that back in the first and second century was simply by mechanically excising the passage from your copy of the scripture.
Right.
Rather than just exegeting it in its context. And when you do that, Jesus is not giving his imprimatur to adultery at all.
Right, right. That's a great point. Do you think people still do that today? Do you think people mistake what Jesus is saying and want and like have that desire to edit or rephrase what he's saying?
Classic example, 1 Corinthians 14, toward the end of that chapter. Paul says something about women being what? Silent in the church, right? And the easiest way to solve that problem is to say, well, Paul never wrote those words. It was an interpolation by someone else.
Right,
the problem with that is there's no textual evidence for
that. Well, that's what I was going to say. How do you come to that conclusion? Do you just say, well, I don't really like it, and I don't think Paul would say it, so
if
I'm going to propose?
If you're an egalitarian, you don't like that verse. And, of course, what you want to do is just say, well, Paul never wrote it.
And I think one of the things I've learned, especially from watching you, Dr. Shah, is that sometimes the unfortunate truth of that is it will take months of study, and it's going to take months. Like there's sometimes where we'll tackle a question. It's like, well, we have this question. It's like, all right, well, I've got until Sunday when I preach on it to answer this question. So I've got a few days to study it. And then there's other times where it's like there's this paper coming up tackling a very serious issue. I've got to take a few months to study this. And maybe like 5 or 6 weeks of that is just going to be reading.
Well, I'm doing a paper on Acts 8:37, and you guys heard me talk about that. You know, is that part of the text?
Right.
You know, where the Ethiopian eunuch comes to the water, and then the question is, what hinders me? And then verse 27 says, injects this statement: if you believe with all your heart, and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and well, that's not there,
right?
So, manuscripts don't have that other than this Western edition.
Right.
So it takes a while to study, you know, understand Western text. And of course, I've studied this for years, but I have to now prepare it in a way that I can not only present the paper, but also I'm going to preach on it.
Right.
So people will understand, what are you talking about, Western text? What are you talking about? The book of Acts has these two different texts happening. What do we do? I mean, is that a problem with inspiration or inerrancy.
Mm-hmm.
So not only studying the matter, but also bringing it down at a level that people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's that takes time.
100%.
Yeah.
It's so good. So important for us. And I appreciate, Dr. Shah, your approach to digging into scripture. And Dr. Black, what you said about putting ourselves under the word of God rather than over.
That's a great point.
That's so important that we approach it with academic rigor, but with humility.
Right.
That's right. Dr. Black, thank you so much for being on the show today.
I've loved it. Thank you so much for having me back.
Absolutely.
We'll have to do this again.
Yes.
We'll have to do this again.
We'll do it.
Maybe it'll take a couple of readings and walk through and explain what we're talking about.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be wonderful. We can do it in the Greek language.
Yeah. But then break it down in a level that people will go, okay, I get it. I mean, I'd get everything, but I get it.
Well, I can email it to some people in Greece. They can just air it on their local radio. They'll understand it.
Yeah. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, anything you want to plug as the show ends today?
Yes, absolutely. Well, actually, Dr. Black, do you have any of your books you wanted to plug?
No.
Okay, sounds good. So, a couple of books. Can We Recover the New Testament? Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament by Dr. Abadan Shah and Dr. David Allen Black, along with other scholars as well. What is it? 30 Days Praying for America by Dr. Abadan Shah and Nicole Shah. And, of course, our debut album, Heaven Here and Now, is available on iTunes and Spotify right now. Go ahead and make sure you get your copy today. We're working on getting those songs on CCLI so we can be good resources for you and your church. So we'll be letting you know when that's available.
That's right. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.